You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With this offense, when I saw the Celtics score 155, I thought of Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy's smiling from above.
Well, you know, let me say that the afternoon of February 28, 1959, when they scored 173 points in the then record, Tommy led all scorers with 43 points. I don't know if you know that.
There you go, Tommy, of course.
The Ryan Goodman and Tangway podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Bob Ryan is so nice, we're going to bring him to you twice a week right here on CLNS Media. Gary Tang with Bob Ryan. Of course, you can check us out on our other weekly podcast with our buddy Jeff Goodman, but because he has a real job and he's so busy, Bob and I are doing another one without Jeff. And it is sponsored by FanDuel, the official wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Bob, got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
At the time of this recording, it is Saturday morning. Friday night was the first of this in-season tournament.
Yes.
Okay, we got a lot to talk about here. I want to talk about that, the quality of the games we saw Friday night, also the offensive explosion. If people don't understand, I'm going to try to keep it simple. The in-season tournament, basically through November into December, you have pools. Once the pools have been decided based on Friday night games, then you're going to have a Final Four that'll be played in Vegas. There you have it. Bob, Friday night, what did you like? Did you think there was anything special because of this in-season tournament, or people just like to score the ball now?
I have been skeptical from the minute I heard about it. Why do we need it? I said to myself. I understand. I mean, what we're being told by Adam Silver and those who adhere and his adherents, it works so well in Europe, in world soccer, works so well in Europe, works so well in South. And this is a direct steal from the European and worldwide soccer world, where concurrent things go on all the time, where they have their leagues. But meanwhile, you know, in Europe, a lot of people in America don't know, you know, there's, you've got the each individual country's got their leagues. Then you have the UEFA championship, and in England, it's the treble. You have the Premiership, which is the number one major league soccer league in England. You have the FA Cup, in which all divisions, second division, third division, they all can play in the same tournament. So the first division team could play a third division team. Third division team could win that tournament and annually. And then you've got the European Championships, the Champions League. Okay, so that's all going on at the same time. Well, we don't do that as a rule. We have our leagues all play internally, period. Go for the championships, blah, blah. Okay, so now we've got an in-season tournament. People are playing for trophy and money. You'll get paid to win this thing. And now these guys, $500,000 for, like, you know, Steph Curry isn't going to change his life.
But it's still money, Bob. You know as well as I do.
Yeah, right.
Still money.
But whoever is the 12th guy on the team is going to be happy, you know? So anyway, I was skeptical. And I was listening to some of the good things. It's a way to keep people's interest in a time of the year when, for example, college football is peaking its interest because of the impending playoffs and who's going to be in and out and whatever remaining games are left in the month of November and into the first week of December, blah, 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 you know, and it's your chance to compete for attention with that, because college football does have an awful lot of adherence in America.
Lord.
Okay, fine. I'm going, are you kidding me? That's my reaction. Okay. Who cares? I don't need additional stimulation. I am one who has always valued and treasured the regular season. I covered too many of them. I saw, because when you go to an arena, it's any sport, you don't know what's going to break out. That's why sports great. That's why sports is not, quote, entertainment. It's not scripted. You don't know when you're going to walk in and see a record-breaking performance or a game you're never going to forget. It could be on January 8th between the Thunder and the Bulls. You don't know. So I'm happy, but people apparently need an additional stimulus. Okay, off the soapbox. Based on what we saw last night and what I've been reading about what people's reaction to what we saw last night, Adam Silver may have done the right thing. There's among the other notable games, the Warriors 141, Oklahoma City 139.
Right.
One at the buzzer by Curry. And by the way, how about this? All eight periods, in other words, four periods of the Warriors and four periods of the Thunder had 30 points or more.
Right.
So you're right, scoring. But Draymond Green was slobbering about what a wonderful night it was. Now, that's interesting. He's been around the block once or twice. And it was, he said, it was playoff tension. All right, maybe they're going to get what they want.
Well, I mean, Bob, just to interject quickly, though, but, you know, you and I have been around. I don't have the experience you have, but we've been around players. It's, you know, it's the regular season. It's November. It's December. You know, they're like, all right. You know, they're kind of, I'm with you. I don't need it, but it gives Draymond Green something to play for. That's awesome, because I understand how mundane the regular season can be for a player. You know, so I just wanted to interject that in.
Yeah. If it's, and another good game, Portland 115, Memphis 113 overtime. We'll get to our boy, Robert Williams third in a minute, but anyway, that was game. And another good game, it wasn't overtime, but, the two stars were at their best. Denver 125, Dallas 114. And Jokic had a triple double, 33-14-9, 2-for-2 on threes. And Doncic didn't have a triple double. He was settled for 34-10-8. He was 6-for-11 on threes. They put on the show. Now, so people don't understand, for the month of November, every Tuesday and Friday will be in-season tournament games. You're playing a round robin. There are six clusters of five, and that's the way it works. And from that will emerge the teams who will get to the and we've already borrowed the phrase from Europe, the knockout stage. We are going to, in America, have our first experience with the knockout stage.
Well, Bob, this is what I think is cool, because I've been to Vegas. I mean, I'm not a gambler, but I've been to Vegas to cover fights.
Me too.
And sports in Vegas, I think, is cool. We all understand the wagering. I mean, look, it's all one. It's all one big happy family now. But, like, having a Final Four in Vegas in December is cool. It's cool.
Vegas is the new capital of American sport.
It's cool.
They've gone from no professional teams to where they're soon going to have three, because the A's are more than likely going to be leaving. And we're going to college tournaments there. Boxing's always been there, but people love Vegas. They've taken over summer basketball.
Oh, no doubt.
At every level. I mean, from the youth level, from the
AAU up. Yeah.
And the offseason, the NBA plays there. So anyway, Vegas, you're right. Vegas is the hot spot. Yes. Yeah. So December 7th is the championship game. Mark, and circle it on your calendar, folks. If you Larry Bird will be, he'll be 67 years of age on December 7th.
So there you go. Hey, look, if people love it, you and I don't need it. They love it. Hey, it's all good.
No, I'm fine, but I was skeptical. But if people, you know, once again, it's not the first time that I'm out of step with the general population, you know. So that's fine.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action in the NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you get your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame moneyline wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
All right, let's get to the Celtics real quick, because one of the things I saw that I forgot, we talked about on our previous podcast with Jeff, the 155 they put up, bought this week, but also defensively, they have not let up. They're top five in offense and defense, and you and I both know, even with Marcus here, the problem that they had is they stopped playing defense. That doesn't seem to be the case right now.
Well, they're off of a good start that way. That I think that Joe has been preaching it. I think if we remember, go back to two years ago, not last year, when they had that great run at the second half of the year, it was built on defense.
Sure.
They were a defensive team. Now, of course, they had Smart to anchor it there in those days, and they had Robert Williams. Now they're both gone. But we know that Jason has matured into can be a good defensive player. Brown has always had the capability of being a good defensive player. We know White will apply himself. Jrue Holiday is a superior defensive player, a mainstay on the all-defensive team. And Porzingis is much more of an asset on defense than we ever knew. And so they have a very good opportunity here to be a very good defensive team. So, yeah, it's now – early sampling, we've only played four games, but still, no question, they have this capability, and interesting to see if they maintain their intensity during the season.
Well, the reason they won the championship with Pierce, Garnett, and Ray back in 07 is they played defense. I mean, that's the first time ever saw Paul Pierce and Ray Allen play defense.
Right. Well, they were inspired by you-know-who.
Garnett.
When you go back and analyze that team, you know, it's the spiritual guidance of that team, the emotional center of that team, the driving force, the guy who cracked the eternal whip was Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett brought his special brand of intensity to that, and the other guys plugged in with him, and they had that spectacular season. And by the way, since you alluded to that season, Doc is on record as saying that he has never seen an NBA team in his entire experience that played as hard every night as that team did. And I looked it up, and this is really startling. And I wrote this based on, you know, what the evidence was at the time. I looked it up. They played 82 games that season.
Right.
There was only one game out of 82 that they weren't in for a substantial period of time. They were blown out at home by Miami, I think in one night. Other than that, they had a chance to win 81 games, and I've seen a lot of basketball since 1969 in this league, and I've never been a team that can make that statement. Anyway, that's how hard they.
Well,
play.
No, I think he's right. I mean, you and I were both there for every game. We were there for the comeback in Los Angeles.
Yes,
I mean, that comeback in Los Angeles is one of the greatest comebacks. I would equate it to the Patriots against Atlanta in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, based on who they were playing and what the stakes were.
And where they were.
Yeah, no question. On the road against the Lakers in game four. And you don't want to go down and lose. And they were brought back. And absolutely, it was a wonderful night.
Okay. Now, does the NBA have a new star on its hands in Wembanyama? Well, will he be taking the keys to the car from LeBron?
Wembanyama is the most anticipated new player to enter the NBA since LeBron James 20 years ago. And we've been said this, the setup has been here for over a year, that this new marvelous thing is coming. He is special. There isn't much doubt. Now, his coming out was pretty early. Game four of his career, the other night, in which they're tied with like a couple of minutes to go, and he scores the last 10 points for them, or at least outscores the opposition and wins the game. He had 38 points. He did it every which way. He does it with transition. He does it with alley-oops. He does it with a three-point shot, which was big in that game. He alters shots on defense. He's going to be an amazing force. And of course, how lucky is he to have a coach that he's got? and have the support that he's going to have. I mean, there's going to be an unpaid mentor that we always help him out named Duncan, you know, that's going to be around. And that, and he, you know, they're not going to, I don't know how many games they're going to win, but we know their appointment TV. We know that they've got, I believe, scheduled 13 national games for a team that was a, you know, a crap team last year because of him and no other reason. So no, he's special. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little perspective on how special in terms of, I just happen to have, Gary, my day-by-day book from the 1979-80 season.
Just happened to have that.
See, in those days, you didn't have the statistic-keeping availability that exists today. You couldn't just go up and punch up everybody's, you know, last night's game or all the cards. You had to keep your day-to-day book on the team every day after every I've got here minutes, field goals attempted, three-point, free throws attempted, rebounds, assists, personal fouls, steals, turnovers, and points for every player. And I've got all kinds of team stats. I did this for the entire time that I covered the team, okay? Larry Bird was a rookie in 1979-80. Because Larry Bird turned 23 on December 7th, 1979, whereas Rubiana is 19 years old now. That's a whole other world that we live in now.
Right.
But Larry Bird's first game, he played 28 minutes. How about that? Fitch only played him 28 minutes. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. 0 for 1 on threes. You know, which is that world then. Okay, he doesn't, in his fourth game, as opposed to Wimbiana's fourth game, all right, they played Washington. He played 22 minutes. He had 5 personal fouls. 6 for 14, 0-0 on threes, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 points. That's Larry Bird's fourth game. So he had 14 games into his career, he had his first and only triple-double of the season. How about that? 23 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists against the Pistons on November 14th, game 14. So a little bit different start than now. He went on to be Rookie of the Year. And in that season, he had 20 points 46 times, 30 points 11 times, and 40 points twice with that one lone triple-double. Now, Wembanyama hasn't had a triple-double yet, but you know they're coming. They're coming. He's special. It's I'm so excited to watch him play.
I always think of Fred Lynn with this when it comes to MVP Rookie of the Year talk. You know,
yes,
Bob, my memory's terrible. I mean, has that ever happened in the NBA?
Yes, Wes Unseld.
Oh,
1968-69.
Really, Unseld?
Wes Unseld was the Rookie of the Year. They had a spectacular regular season, and then they got swept in the playoffs. That they bombed out in the playoffs. He was the Rookie of the Year and MVP in 1968-69. Now, I got to check on Wilt, if Wilt 59-60. I'll get back to you on that. I'm not sure about Wilt.
Well, I mean, I know just about think it's so hard to do.
Of course it is.
I mean, but LeBron, I mean, you would think if somebody, you would think LeBron.
Yeah, well, the competition that you have in this league, even going back 70 years, is stiff. You know, go back 70 years, there were 8 teams and there were 10 on the team. The 80 best players in the world were in the NBA.
Oh, right.
Now, as in those days. Now, of course, it's 30 times 12, 360 plus bench. You know, anyway. But Wes Unseld had a spectacular rookie season, yes.
I have fat fingers here on my phone.
All right.
Maybe I'll get it.
Wilt 59-60.
Let's talk about Wembanyama then. So is this guy going to get votes?
Well, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Wilt Chamberlain, you're right. Hang on. He was named MVP. I was thinking around what you think.
59-60.
The only other rookie to have won NBA MVP award is Wes Unseld. You're right. So it's Wilt at 59-60, and it's Wes at 68-69.
So we haven't had one in 50.
So does this kid get votes?
Well, I don't know.
I know what's early.
We haven't got a Thanksgiving yet. That's fine. But he's gone. You know, there was question before the season about, he wasn't even a unanimous choice of predictions to be Rookie of the Year yet, you know. So we'll see how it all plays out. But it looks like the hype was real. When you go out and do what he did in that fourth game of his career, you know, I think we can be pretty certain that the hype was for real. So, and he's just got a lot to learn. And he will. He's apparently, you know, this kid, people understand the backstory. This kid has been groomed for this life, truly, as much as any non-American right. has ever been. From the time he was 12 or 13, he was recognized that he was a basketball prodigy. He knows that where you want to play is the United States of America in the National Basketball Association, not in Spain, not in Italy, not in Germany. You know, you want to play in America. He started prepping himself in terms of how to live here by mastering the language, the English language. He speaks excellent English, not just passable English, excellent English.
Well, I mean, that's the different world we live in today.
He was preparing himself to live in America.
Right.
When he was 13 years old. That tells you what this kid's about. Whoa, come on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, that also tells you of the world we live in today when kids are prepared for sports and people look at sports. And now I don't think it's going to be out of the question that maybe you have a Rookie of the Year and an MVP, you know, in the NBA sometime. Kids are playing at 19 years old. Kids are playing in professional leagues overseas. I mean, it's a different world.
Oh,
before, good. Like, I didn't think it had ever happened. You mentioned Unseld and Wilt. You know, and for Unseld to get it, my God, it must have been. I mean, Unseld was underrated. I think it was a down year when I think of West.
Well, I've always been a huge Unseld fan.
Oh, I know you have.
My first time I ever saw Wes Unseld playing against Boston College in the NIT, and we beat them in triple overtime, but only because he fouled out in the third overtime.
And where did he play again?
5 points and 26 rebounds.
And where was he?
At Louisville in the NIT in 1966. And we did beat them in that third overtime on a layup by the late Ed Hockenberry, but which some people may know as the longtime coach at Norwich. And a really wonderful guy. But anyway, this is the young Unseld, sophomore, because in those days you didn't have freshman eligibility. He was a sophomore. He was 6'6" plus afro, and he only weighed about 235 or 240, and he had lift. He was an astonishing player. By the time he retired from the NBA, he may have been pushing 3 bills. He was big.
I know. He was a big dude.
Greatest line about Dave Kaberski once said, Wes Unseld, he sets a pick and it takes you 24 seconds to run around it. So that was Wes Unseld.
Brunson had a big night. He had like
45. God, 45 points on Friday night for
this poor kid. You know, if Wemby could, I mean, obviously Pop's not going to let this happen, but I mean, if Wembanyama was in New York with Brunson, holy cow.
Well, he's going to be the focal point of whatever team he's ever going to be on, naturally, and he's scoring now. But I mean, this
love Brunson. We root for Brunson, even though he's a Knick.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you know, his father is one of us. He's from So you know, yeah, you know, question. We always knew Daddy. So he was a bench. Isn't he? He's assistant coach in that team, isn't he? I think he is.
I have to check. Yeah, I think he is.
I'm a huge, you know, big Brunson guy, if you go back to the dialogue we had last year, I said, oh, I applaud, I wanted him on my team, but I thought they overpaid for him. I thought they paid him as a star. Right. But he's really just an auxiliary player. Turns out I was wrong. Happily, he turned out to be a terrific player and an all-star level player. And then on a Friday night, he drops 45 for the Knicks. So,
one of the things I like about the NBA now is we talk about all these different teams. I mean, we haven't even got to the Suns yet.
You know,
and we will get to the Suns as their roles are changing. But, you know, the Suns, the Warriors, Denver.
Oh, God. Yeah,
then you come here to the East. I mean, you wonder what's going to happen with the big man in Philly. You talk about Brunson. There really isn't that one superstar. I mean, right now, I think the best player is in Denver right now. He may be in Boston. We'll see. But Wembanyama seems to me to be the first candidate to be, when I say this, I mean, from a marketing image perspective, he seems to be the next LeBron Jordan, where he's on the masthead of the league.
I think that's the destiny for him. Yes. Remember, he's 19 years old.
Right. But is the league better? Do we need that guy, Bob?
You never have enough glamour players. No, of course. You can need them. it's what's interesting is the fact that we're now on a run of 5 years in a row where the most valuable player was not born in the United States of America.
Amazing.
And the, here comes the next great thing is what was not born in the United States of America, which tells you, you know, how much the game of basketball has bloomed in the world, all due ultimately to the Dream Team and Boris Stankovic's vision. The late Boris Stankovic, everything he dreamed about is coming true. And I wish he had been alive to see this happen with these MVPs being European or non-American players. And because this is what this is why he pushed to get the Americans involved and have the in the Olympics. And you see what's happened. 125 players from international players on NBA rosters this season.
And the game's better for it, Bob.
The game is better for it.
And
so, you know, it's the earth pushes on in America. Keep pace. It's like, you know, we talk about the Olympic team and look what happened. We didn't win the world championship. We had a mediocre, we had a B team. We didn't have any quality big man play, you know, and who, by the way, who's going to be that big man? We are now begging a naturalized citizen named Joel Embiid to choose between us and France to play in the Olympics in Gay Paris next to Satayon Anne.
Well, also, I think, Bob, while I'm as patriotic, and certainly we are all very patriotic, I don't think that there's any animosity in the league. I think that, you know, we've become, I mean, we're a melting pot anyways. I mean, that's what America, you know, we're a melting pot. So while we have these MVPs over, I think the fans love them just as much.
Oh, well, yeah, when you're on your team, I mean, obviously, if you're a Buck fan, how can you not worship Antetokounmpo? What's he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. Plays the game beautifully and is absolutely low maintenance off the court. Jokic, same thing, plays beautifully, it's low maintenance. I mean, they don't even want any publicity. Embiid, and he's a character. Embiid, you know, he's a Twitter, an ex guy, excuse me. You know, he's an ex guy. He likes to engage in repartee with, he likes to have fun. You know, good. There are different personalities. But absolutely, I'm sure in Philadelphia, he's an extremely popular player, and he should be. And so, yeah. Great.
Bob, I think that'll do it. We will be talking to Jeff Goodman again next week. Bob and I will be back again next week. And I hope the offense keeps up.
Well, I like offense. And, you know, I lived through it. We all lived through a period of dark ice age in the NBA 20 some years ago when I used to say that there were too many coaches who were happier when they didn't have the ball than when they did. And
I blame the Pistons. I blame the Pistons.
Well, we'll talk about that. Well, we can blame a lot of people, but Chuck Daly, the funny you say that, during the Knicks-Rockets final, which was a sludge fest, awful, ugly, 1994, just terrible. Nobody scored 100 ever, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. And Chuck was doing color for somebody, and he's at the practice, he's saying, "Don't blame me." So, you know.
I do. I do, but it worked for him. Hey, he got a couple of titles on it.
All right.
A couple of titles out of it. He worked for him. With this offense, when I saw the Celtics score 155, I thought of Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy's smiling from above.
Well, you know, let me say that the afternoon of February 28th, 1927, I think it was 1959, when they scored 173 points in the then record. Tommy led all scorers with 43 points. I don't know if you know that.
There you go, Tommy. Of course. Bob, great stuff. We'll talk to you again soon.